Yes, Terry.
I have three praises. First of all, last week I asked you out. It could have, it should have cost us $4,000 or $5,000. Brand new unit in labor ended up costing us $1,200.
Wow.
Yeah, praise God.
You got a great deal.
We did.
Friends.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Who else?
You had two more.
Yeah. Yeah, go for it.
I'm sure everybody that knows me knows that I've been having a lot of problems with my job. I always ask for prayer. All my prayer warriors have been praying with me and all this and that. It's been going on since probably right before or right after Thanksgiving. And I didn't do anything that they could fire me. But I wouldn't do what they wanted me to do. So they really raked me over the coals. It really got bad. And I'd actually thought about just quitting and retiring. And it's like, no, I don't want to, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, the whole time, I just had this steel piece inside me. It's just be still. Just be still. I passed up several jobs, and I don't know why, because I wanted out of there more than anything. I don't know why. And I, sometimes between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I applied for a job. A friend sent me an email. It's like, oh, this would be a really good job. I'll never qualify for this. Well, what the heck? I got nothing to lose anyway. So I applied for it, never heard a word, nothing. So I assumed they either filled it or closed it. But it was okay, because I still had this peace inside of me. And that's the only way I can explain it. It's okay. Just be still. And a couple weeks ago, out of the blue, I get this phone call. This lady says, we'd like you to come in for an interview for blah, 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 for what? And she told me again, I said, are you sure you got the right number? Because I've forgotten about it. This was right around Christmas time. And she explained it to me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, yes. I was an absolute bastard. I have been on an interview very fast. I have been on an interview in over 15 years. So I'm going to this interview. Of course, I done my prep work, you know, the research, the practice, the questions, and all that good stuff. But I'm driving up there, and I'm praying, you know, God, let the right words come out of my mouth. You know what? I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Couple blocks, and I started praying, God, what's negative in that room? Take it out. Take it out. So I get there, and they're like 10 minutes late, give or take. And I didn't say nothing, of course. I'm being patient. So this one guy comes in, he says, come on, forget it. Let's just go. Come to find out, two of the four interviewers didn't show up. And they don't know why. They don't know where they was. He went ahead with it. They ranked me so high, both of them individually, that the hiring manager called me in for a second interview, said that she had to meet me face-to-face to make sure there wasn't some type of nepotism or something.
Nepotism. I'm going to look that up. I can't remember what that means. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Nepotism, stuff like that. I got the job. I gave you all my 300 plus hours of sick time, 300 and some hours of vacation time. I get to keep all my holiday leave, all my seniority, everything. And I got a nice pay raise.
Amen.
Nobody but God could do that. Absolutely.
Isn't that what I just talked about?
Well, you know, and Jerry, your patience is one of my strong suits. But for months, it was like, it's okay. I don't know why.
Okay. There you go.
And then the third thing I want to praise God for is that my son-in-law, my daughter had left her home church, tension in the church, long story. But I prayed that they find a church where they could grow in and all this and that. And they did. And I was really happy about it, but I was still a little bit leery. But it is going to be their home church. And she won't come to the same church I do. The pastor gave a sermon about tithing. And Jason, my son-in-law, he's always a fence-line Christian.
Yeah.
So anyway, he got convicted, and he started tithing his whole 10%. And I was talking to him, and he said at first, he said, Mom, I was scared to death. He said, I just knew that was going to be short, but I didn't care. I just grabbed my mom and dad for money because I knew that was going to be short. I'm like, Jason, that's not a really good attitude, honey. He said, I know, but I had this and I had this and blah, 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 blah. He said, but I just did it. I said, well, how was it? He said, it was okay. And then he said, you know, it went on. He said, second month it was okay. And then he said, all of a sudden, he gets this, I don't know if he got an interview or whatever. Anyway, at his current job, unexpectedly, he got a raise that exceeded the 10% that he was paying. And he was just
Well, Terry, it was unexpected by him. But I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've heard that story.
It was awesome. But you know, the most awesome part was his faith. You could see where he had grown.
Well, you know.
And how did you tell Jerry? And of course, he didn't go into that detail, but he told him the same thing.
There are folks that say, well, I tried tithing, but it didn't work. It's amazing that it doesn't occur to people that God knows when you're going to quit before you start. So I wonder why it didn't work. When you commit, that's it. God already knows if you're going to be faithful or not. You're the one that doesn't know until you step up and do it and see whether you last or don't. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's just story after story. Yes. And then sometimes, well, we won't get off into what weird stuff people do. Who else has a praise? We got more praises we need to cover. Clarissa, and then Jeannie.
James and I had a wonderful day yesterday. We sat and watched like a marriage seminar, Christian comedian / pastor.
Oh, yeah?
It was really fun and got some good ideas for some future home teams, possibly. So,
oh, cool. Yeah, that is exciting. Jeannie?
Thursday, Bernie's boss asked me to take something down to his ranch house, which is like 6.5 hours away. And Charlie asked if I could ride along because it was going to be an overnight trip. And his boss agreed. So we went down towards.
More about 20 minutes north of Del Rio.
Yeah,
Valley.
300 acres out there or something like that. We got there Friday afternoon-ish. We left Friday morning.
No fighting back there. Come on.
We had a great time. His mom took us out over the property. Didn't see the deer, but we saw a hare.
Yeah,
it's too big to be a rabbit. And when we were leaving, there was a spotted deer. I'm not sure what kind of deer that is.
No, they were axis deer.
Axis, yeah. They're spotted.
Well, yeah. But I just had a great time. It was nice and people out there. And we didn't have to use our guns.
Cool. Amen. That's a praise. Amber?
We went to my dad's yesterday, and we saw my Aunt Becky, my Uncle Frank, who was in the hospital recently, but he's finally out, and he's been a lot better, and we were all talking, and we invited them to the church, so hopefully they come on by, and that's three members.
Amen. Cool. It's going good. Anybody else? Denise?
My brother and my niece, they made it back to Georgia State for the rest.
Yeah. I've got a couple of praises. One of them is that even though I still deal with pain on my knees and all that every day, I'm getting stronger. And I'm coming back. A little slow but sure, but I'm able to get some work done physically and other things. So I'm getting there. Other thing is that I want to tell you a story about Precious. It's a true story. It happened this week. I want to tell you this because when you praise the Lord openly and publicly, and you have an attitude of gratitude that you wear every day, God uses it to accomplish things. I was taking some material back to a flooring, very large flooring place. And one of the employees that I had seen there several times before, that's a young lady. Her name's Precious. Got it on her tag. And she walked in while I'm standing there finishing up my transaction. And the cashier said something to her, and she kind of said, "Well, I'm here, you know." So, and she was obviously not in a very good state of mind. And I said, "Precious, you're young and you're beautiful, and the sun's shining, and God has blessed you. What do you got to be grumpy about?" I said, you ought to be just praising the Lord every day. And she said, yeah, but I just lost my dad. I thought this would be easy. This whole conversation took about 2 minutes, maybe three. And I said, well, did your dad know Jesus? And she said, I'm pretty sure he did. I said, that's wonderful. I said, that takes the sting out of it. But do you know Jesus? And she said, well, I pray sometimes, and I need to get back going to church again. And I said, what you mean is, no, you don't know him, do you? She said, no, sir. I said, Precious, do you believe the Bible is from God? And she said, yes, sir, I do. I said, do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is in the Bible? And she said, yeah. I said, do you know what he did for you? She said, yeah, he died for my sins. Do you know what he asked you to do to know him? And she just looked at me puzzled, and I said, the Bible says that if you put your trust in him to save you from your sins, he'll do it. And you can see your dad again. I said, well, why don't you just do that right now if you believe that? And she said, okay. And so I gave her a couple minutes and asked her I said, as you went to the Lord now, did you just trust Jesus to save you? She said, yes, sir, I did. And I said, well, won't you tell him so? And she looked up, and I mean, I don't know how many other people was there, but loud as you want to please, she said, I trust you. And that took about 2 or 3 minutes. It's pretty amazing, actually. Because I'm all about teaching people and making sure they understand. But she was just right there, ready to go. And so she gave me a hug, and I said, so now you really are precious, aren't you? She said, yeah, I am. Anyway, it was a good day.
Just curious. I mean, you doing God's work and nothing else matters, and you dead on it. What was going on all around you? Were you aware of me?
Not really. I mean, I know that there were people walking around, and I know they were listening, but it really didn't. You know, they weren't in the program. It didn't make any difference. No. One thing I've noticed that. When you're responding to what God's got in front of you to do, especially when somebody needs the Lord and you're being used like that, there's not much can get in the way. Well, he sets them all up anyway. You know, I mean, it's salvation's of the Lord. It's just there where God put me at that moment. What's the chance of my finishing at the register the moment she walks up all down in the dumps like that? And it's not unusual for me to try to cheer somebody up and talk about the Lord at the same time and remind them of how blessed we are, you know. Just and look out at that sunshine out there. That's God's gift for us today. Puts us on a different subject. It's not unusual to do that, but for the Lord to take it all the way to her coming to the Lord that day, that doesn't happen very often. But I'm sure glad I was there.
I'm afraid that my wife is home, always with us in the door. She was telling me about the interaction, how she was challenging. Her sister's a Jehovah's Witness, so she knows a little bit about it. And how she was challenging this lady, and the lady just didn't have any answers. And she was just talking about, you know, Bible principles and this, that, and my wife was home, she was off.
Amen.
And this lady actually went away, the way my wife described it, she went away not angry, but thinking about things.
Yeah. Yeah, planting seeds. All right. Any other praises? It's chapter 10, verse 30. the righteous shall never be removed. What does that tell you? I mean, look at that. What have we been talking about? It's sure. Guaranteed. Ray was talking about the illustration I was sharing, talking to him earlier about that he shared with the kids. He had a slip of paper with Jesus written on it, and he put it in an envelope with Jesus written on it. And he put that in another envelope with the Father written on it. And he was illustrating what Jesus promised. He said, you're in my hand, and I'm in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. And even if you manage to tear through one of the envelopes, you still got to face who's inside. So, again, I am so delighted. I am so thrilled that we know the truth and that the righteous shall never be removed. It's one thing for us not to be moved. It's another for us never to be removed. But the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. It's just pretty awesome, isn't it? The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Now, that's pretty scary. I'm not sure if that's a literal surgery or not, but it certainly could be. It has been done in the past. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. How many times do... It's usually younger Christians that are kind of working their way into maturity, and it's, like you say, it's a bite at a time and it didn't happen overnight. A lot of things work like that. They have a little trouble with what's acceptable and what's not. Do you ever find yourself being in a position, perhaps tempted to do certain things or participate in certain things, and you know deep down that they're simply not acceptable? There are things that we do that are not acceptable. Do you ever try to justify those things? This dress is not that short, or my hair is not that long, or I'm really not that many days late on paying this bill, or not quite coming across with the whole truth.
I'm going to happy hour because it's a work. It's for work.
It's for work. That's good. That's excellent. Yeah, believe me, we've all been there.
I think a work situation is a little more difficult. Like for me, people want to cheat on taxes or not issue that refund, mm-hmm. or stuff like that. And I just tell them, you can do what you want, it's your business, but I'm not going to participate in that. And they look at me like, well, that's your job. Well, I have higher authority sometimes.
There is, and I'm going to be able come in on the other side of this for a couple of minutes. There are two sides to this issue about when we know something that's acceptable and something that's not. One of them is that usually, well, there it is. I mean, God declares it, so it has to be true. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Sometimes our lips know and our brain doesn't. Maybe, I don't know how you can slide around this. I don't think you can. But there is a situation in some circles, some that you have been in and I have certainly been in, we tend to call it legalism. We tend to find things wrong with things that, really not a big deal. Can anybody give me an example of that? And then if you can, what's wrong with it? Things that you would hear from a preacher, perhaps, or being taught in a church that are not acceptable when maybe there really is nothing wrong with it at all.
Well, drinking would be drinking up, not necessarily unacceptable. I mean, you got to be careful when and how and all that sort of thing. But
okay. So preaching that drinking is just sin, period? Okay. Well, it says shouldn't be a drunkard. There's a whole lot of other reasons not to drink. Much more important ones than that, actually. How would you feel if you walked in the bar and saw me drinking?
I wonder who you're preaching to.
They did go in and see Jesus with the publicans and the sinners, and they called him a wine bibber. And I know he drank wine. He was not a Nazarite, otherwise he wouldn't have. I guarantee you they never saw him intoxicated. Why would it be unacceptable for me to drink in public and so on and so forth like that, like anybody else.
Because you can call your brother to stumble tonight.
Is that a real issue?
Yeah.
You better believe it is. How many people in this church do you think are either recovering addicts or alcoholics? A whole lot more than you'd possibly ever imagine. And how much encouragement would you think it'd be to them if I set an example of drinking? Paul said, I will neither eat meat nor drink wine. And he was talking about the issue of meat being offered to idols or not, which we really don't have that issue going on around here anymore, I don't think. But he said, if it's in danger of causing my brother to stumble. I need to be willing to forego some things that might otherwise be acceptable to set the proper example for you. You see, I'm one of those people that didn't have any alcohol issues. I've never had a propensity to drink alcohol. When I did drink, I would drink maybe the second beer, and then I'm done. The minute I can start to feel it, I've had it. I'm not drinking anymore. I don't like that feeling. I never have. Other people love that feeling. I don't get it. But anyway, but that's just me. So I've never really had an issue with it for me personally. Yeah, cold beer tastes good on a hot day, of course. Everybody knows that. Unless it's your first one and then it tastes like pig slop. But it's an acquired taste, of course. But yeah. No, it's one of those things that's not acceptable. Now, there are other things that are preached that are even worse than that. I remember one of the big independent Baptist legalistic issues was women wearing pants.
Well, you don't want them to wear any?
It's Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. It's under the law. And there are still preachers out there that preach that today.
Women that are trying to be men and dress like men.
Yeah, well, there's that, you know, and it's true. They shouldn't. Guys dressing like women, too. We've had to deal with that a few times around here. When we preach something that's, you know, well, as a sin, and it's really not. Oh, yeah, you could go to movies that might be sinful to go to. But that doesn't make going to movies sin. And you think that's ever been preached? You think that's ever been preached in this church? I could show you 50-year-old bylaws that says, or 40-year-old bylaws that says that if you're going to teach Sunday school, you cannot attend movies. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Okay, it's... It might be better if it was practiced. They might be better teachers. I don't know. But I don't have the right to tell you that something is sin when it's not. And I'm going to be held accountable for that. For the one thing that we have in Christ that has to be protected just as much as any other aspect has to be protected is that is our freedom. We're free in Christ. And you can't do or not do something because I've pressured you into it. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord or removed from your life for the Lord, it has to be done out of love and for a real reason that's a righteous reason. I don't want any of our leaders drinking out in public. And if they want to drink a beer at home, that's fine. Just don't leave it in your refrigerator for other members to come over and see. Protect your brothers and sisters that are following you. And yeah, I'm going to require some of those things. But I'm not going to tell you that it is something it isn't in the process. This is an important issue right here. It really is. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Most of that which is acceptable or not acceptable is nothing more than common sense. The only problem is common sense isn't nearly as common as it once was. So, anyway. All right, we get to start a new chapter. This one ought to be obvious to anyone. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. What does that mean?
Your life is in balance. You know, it's too much of one thing. I'm not going to let exercise keep me out of church.
Okay, well. Well, I think you're weird for loving to exercise, but anyway, that's although I did sign up for the gym this week, and oh man, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I haven't gone yet though, so. But that sounds good, but that is not what this means. It's talking about a merchant when he weighs out the product, or a gas pump that's adjusted a certain way. You don't give a 90% of a gallon of gas when you're paying for, when the customer's paying for 100%. When you weigh out the whatever it is, if you were selling gold to a gold buyer, you know, you were, if you went and grabbed all your old jewelry or something and you wanted to convert it to cash so you could pay off a bill, and you went down to the gold buyer and he had a set of scales there, you're going to want to know that those scales haven't been doctored to where the little point's been moved over a little bit. Has that ever been done? Has that been commonly done? Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, but a false balance is abomination. Is that a strong word? There's six things that God hates, and one of them was an abomination. It means it's worse than he just hates it. I mean, it's really bad. A false balance. And you were right, Michael. It means don't cheat. It was just, you know, principle applies to a whole lot of other things except weighing out what you're selling. It applies to all kinds of stuff. In your particular profession, you got a little challenge ahead of you, though. Tax laws are written, they're weird, for one thing.
I was actually thinking about that today. Is it immoral to take advantage of the tax laws? And in certain cases, it might be, but in an absolute sense, it's probably not, because it is the law of the land. But then we have to decide what action. Are we taking an action just to take advantage of a loophole, or...
Well, you could call it a loophole. I call it an opportunity.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But there are some things that, you know, we might want to invest in or spend our money on.
Yeah, exactly. Look, let me tell you something, okay? Section 179. You know what that is? Yeah. Anybody else know what that is? It's been outlawed and brought back and adjusted up and brought back down. Right now, in our country, it's unlimited. Section 179 says that you can deduct, if you're in business, that you can deduct a capital equipment expenditure, full price, 100%, in the same business year. And you can carry it ahead, too. And I'm pretty sure you can also, well, no, you can't depreciate. You can do one or the other. But who would want to depreciate it? That means that I can go down, let's say I did $600,000 in a year. Okay, that's not unusual for a going construction company. That's actually small. And let's say that I netted or grossed $200,000, which is not unusual at all. Matter of fact, if you're not doing a third, you don't get to stay in business very long. That's the way that is. So of that $200,000, I could go down and buy a brand new $55,000 pickup truck, which qualifies under Section 179, and reduce my taxable income to $145,000 instead of $200,000. That means that $55,000, what's 3 times 55? That's $16,500 I get to keep in my pocket because I went and bought that new truck. In 1 year. How many of you have known me for 10 or 15 years? Right? You have? What do you see me driving?
A truck.
Same truck all these years?
Yeah. No. It's not a truck. I have a new truck.
Well, it's new or used. It doesn't matter. But this year, this last year, actually, they didn't limit it to one. The Section 179 is pretty much however many you need. So this last year, there was two trucks and three trailers. I use them all. But you can bet your bottom dollar I deducted them all too, and legally, and it saved. Well, if you look at what they're doing with the tax money, it doesn't really hurt my feelings that bad to save all I can. I pay some taxes, but yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I've been under warranty for years, and is that, you asked the question. The question was, is that wrong? Well, of course it's not. I pay a guy like you a lot of money every year to make sure that all of those things that I need to do are planned ahead and done for the coming year so that tax burden is complete. The taxes on a $200,000 gross that turns to net without any deductions is about $60,000. Anybody here want to pay $60,000 in taxes this year? Yeah. That's a big tax burden. And you know, I mean, it's just what it is. No. Wait. Now we're going to run out of time, but I want to explain something to you. That law puts more money that the government has to use than without it. Do you know why? That law. What that law is designed to do is to allow small businesses, particularly small businesses, to save enough money on taxes so they can hire extra people, and so they can take on more work, and so they can, and it's called trickle-down economics, and it does trickle down. Sometimes it actually runs a nice little stream down. But the government will have more money given the breaks to small business people who will expand their businesses based on having more to do it with. They'll have more money on the bottom line than they would if they took away all those things. Because Obama did take away all those things. But now we have them back. And what is the economy doing versus one versus the other? You know. It's booming. By not having to pay near as many taxes, I'm able to do other stuff. Yeah, and it all has to stay in balance. But to answer the question, is it a right to take advantage of the tax laws? It's not only right; it's smart, and it's kind of dumb not to, frankly. So you need to educate yourself a little bit, or pay somebody that is educated to do that stuff for you, and which is what I do, because I'm not smart enough to keep up with it, nor would I be interested and want to. That's why we have people like you, so people like me don't have to know all that garbage. But, you know, I have learned some things along the way. When pride cometh, this is our last one. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. What's lowly? Humble. Yeah, that's easy to understand, isn't it? It doesn't mean poverty stricken or poor or dumb or unintelligent or anything like that. It means it's humility. And even Grandma told you that pride cometh before a fall. Didn't she? Yeah. All right, we'll stop right there. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. We're probably going to talk about that next week, but that's actually fairly easy to understand. You get all puffed up, and you get all proud of yourself, and you get this "I did it, boy, look at me, I did it" attitude. Man, yeah, it's going to come back and bite you. And it's going to have teeth when it does. So. All right, prayer requests. Well, we got through, what, three, four verses today. We're doing good. Huh? Yeah, we did. Man. All right. Praise the Lord. And I think we're learning a few things, are we not? Are we not kind of getting some things squared out where we can understand where we really are? Michael's on here first. He said, my motivation to quit ignoring God's provisions in my life. And he read daily no, and he's not on schedule either. You wrote that like you're almost proud of it or something. just figured it on up to it, huh? Glenda, her boys are traveling, praying for Pastor and Lisa and the president and the nation. And I wasn't ready for this stool yet. But anyway, Valerie has an unspoken request, and praying for our church, our family, country, and President Trump. And she wrote down still behind, and she crossed it out. So, oh, was that you? Oh, okay, still behind. Jeannie and Harley are still behind. Jeannie is still behind. Hand's still a problem. That's a finger that's messed up. Praying for Pastor and Lisa, our church family. Josh Klingelsmith, it's her brother, that he returns to church for Chris Clinton to come to the Lord. Who's Chris Clinton? Your baby brother. I figured it had to be a brother like that, but. Josh and Christina, praying for guidance and strength. Amen. And you're in the right place to get some. Amen. Brenda, four unspoken requests. And she read every day. So did Randy. Saturday did not get you this week. Oh, praise God. Boy, we conquered Saturday. One unspoken in prayer for Sarah, his daughter. Karen has an unspoken request. Pastor and Lisa, and for Awana Ministry, Gerald and Terry, two unspoken, and for James' health. That's the little orange-headed rugrat that runs around.